Hey guys, welcome to episode 21 of the JV Club.
21.
I guess that was supposed to be me implying that it's legal drinking age. You know, I'm not even known for being a drinker, so I'm gonna say 21, like the significance of a good blackjack hand. Also not known for being a gambler. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening to this episode. I'm so excited that Allison did the show. We had so much fun. I can't believe I'm legitimately chuckling when I think about how much fun I had, but that was a sincere chuckle. I think it's a really great episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. I wanted to tell you that if you are downloading this episode on Thursday, July 26th, otherwise known as my mom's birthday, you can watch me on Sullivan and Son, which is on TBS tonight, Thursday at 10. It's a really cute show. It reminds me of Cheers, actually, which I don't get to say very often about sitcoms. I think it's got this sort of great classic sitcom vibe to it, and all the people on it are so great. Special shout outs to Owen Benjamin and Valerie Aislin. Those guys are just funny and wonderful. So there's that. I wanted to thank all of you guys who left fun comments about Donna and Danielle. That's funny that they talk about a movie that they wrote together. And then in this episode, Allison and I end up kind of riffing on a movie that feels like it could be a sister movie, which was sort of a funny coincidence. In this episode, we make fun of Wisconsin accents. If you guys are listening and you live in Wisconsin, I just want you to know I love your accent. Anything up there in the North Dakota area, so don't take it to heart. It's meant with love and in good fun. And I've got some shout outs for you. On Twitter, I want to thank Katie and Babe and Roth, and Christina, Stacy, Amanda, Joanna, Jesus, Eva or Eva, Kristen, Crystal, Lucy. And then on Facebook, Kimberly and Graham and Jody. Such lovely Facebook posts and messages. And then some lovely emails, including emails from Ryan and Adriana. Emily, Stephanie, and Gabe, you also have sent me wonderful things. Gabe sends me dog treats for Scotty, which is kind of the most amazing thing ever. Of course, I need to give another shout out to Tamara, who sent me a little goodie package from Canada that is maybe the set of the cutest stuff I've ever seen. So thank you guys so much. I want to be able, I actually have something in mind that I want to be able to send you guys all, but it's just kind of a big endeavor, so I haven't been able to finish it. But what else did I want to say? Oh, I guess, you know what? The last thing I just wanted to say is, you know, I tweeted something on Thursday. I believe it was Thursday. It's been kind of a blur. Maybe it was Friday. About just kind of how I was feeling about Aurora. I guess I talked about it kind of indirectly, but I got so many lovely replies from you guys. And I just want to say again, it feels so good to have a really positive, supportive community of podcast listeners and fans and people who are exchanging great posts on Facebook and stuff. It's simple, but it really makes such a huge difference when you think about some of the horrible things that happen in the world. So thank you so much for just being all around awesome human beings and for keeping my faith in people alive. So please enjoy this episode, and you guys are awesome. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I'm trying to think if there's another television show that I have had two stars of. I don't think I have.
So this is like we're making history right now.
We're making We're certainly making a small sliver of JV club history.
I think everyone's going to take notice. I think this is going to be a huge rift.
Let me ask you this.
Elsewhere.
Is it possible that Dan Rather will come out of retirement to do a news story?
I'm pretty sure that's going to happen.
On this.
I could feel it happening.
If there's one thing that could have coaxed him out. Yeah. In the podosphere. Is that a thing?
Yes.
It probably is. But do they say yes. Podosphere?
Everyone says it. It's sweeping the nation.
Is that like this? That's similar to the POTUSphere, which is the President of the United States podcast network.
It's as important.
Yes, if not more so.
Exactly.
I think our listeners know what's important. Guys, there's no surprise here because you have downloaded the podcast that has this person's name in the title, this episode. So it shan't surprise you to hear that I'm here with Allison Brie.
I wish I could take a mask off right now.
An audio
and do
mask.
A reveal just for you. Like,
wait a minute. I wish so too. I like the idea of an audio mask reveal where I've had your voice digitally altered to protect your identity.
Podosphere.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey guys.
It's Allison. I was digitally altering her voice for her protection, I guess.
When I do an impression of myself, it's super high. Like, I'd be like, this is my fake voice. This is me.
Do that too. I think if I quote myself back, whatever voice I give myself, I don't know that I'm that consistent, but I think I feel like I've quoted, like, you know what I think I quote myself as? I think I quote lower and boring.
Really? You're like,
I wonder.
Then I was like, I don't know, where are we gonna go?
I think that is what I do. Listeners, if you can verify that, I think I frequently quote myself back, like, and then I was like, I don't know, I guess I might just
do whatever
be.
You want.
That's kind of weird.
I go higher. I think because
you make yourself.
I think because when I play Annie, I do my voice so much higher, and mom's voice is higher, or like, so my standard impressions of my mom are like, well, honey, I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't know why she sounds like she's from Wisconsin either, because she's not.
But I think that's become sort of a classic mom voice. It is. All of our moms are from up here.
I
guess that implies, it implies that they're not hip. It just implies no matter where your mom's from, we're using a universal language to say she is not a hipster.
Yeah. I don't normally put that much Wisconsin in it, but I always go higher.
I put in a lot.
It's pretty accurate. Her just being like, well, I mean, I can't remember which pill I took yesterday, so I might have crashed the car on my way to work.
No. That's interesting. My mom, I'm trying to think, when I do my mom's voice, I love my mom. I don't talk about her that much on the podcast. I talk about my dad, I guess because I spent more time with my dad growing up. Mm-hmm. But my mom is adorable, and she is only getting kookier as she gets older, which is kind of what we all can expect. I certainly have gotten more kooky just in the past few years.
I think so. I hope it continues to.
Yeah. You know what? Kooky equals to me, like, keeping hold of, like, being childlike in some way and being, like, whimsical and having a sense of humor and
kind of staying true to who you are. I love looking at, like, being out and about and seeing, like, an older woman, like in her 70s, who's dressed in some fabulous outfit.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I hope I do that.
Yes, me
too. As I'm older, just like, you know what? Today is a red day.
Yes.
And just, like, all red.
I completely agree. Well, now we're talking about, that's like a whole club of women, right? That wear the purple. And I still see those ladies sometimes.
I don't know about them.
It's, I think it's based on when I am an old woman, I will wear purple. It might be Oprah related, honestly, but it has something to do with, like,
oof, wasn't about Oprah. It was about just purple. I feel like,
yeah,
just
purple's not my color.
No, it's not.
It has something to do with, I think they're called the Red Hat Ladies, and it has something to do with a novel or a poem that was written. And it's this idea of sort of taking pride in your age and taking back your age, because America is such an ageist culture and a youth centric culture. And I think so you'll see these groups of ladies, I may have seen the last gaggle of these such ladies I may have seen
gaggle.
Was at the Hollywood Bowl when I saw Dolly Parton
last summer.
And I think I saw like 10 ladies who all wear purple and they wear a red hat together. Right,
well,
guys? It's not they wear red and wear a purple hat. I think it's they wear purple and then a red hat, because it's out of the poem.
Color combination, I have to say.
Yeah.
But I mean, I appreciate the gesture, but I don't know.
What would our colors be? Like, when we are old women, our group of will be based on what we think is most flattering for each one of us. And I'm sure we can find some colors that we both agree on. Do you like wearing green?
I love green. Green is my favorite color.
That's I'm wearing a green shirt.
You are, and it looks
guys,
great.
Guys, again, I wish I could pull off the you mask really around my shirt and reveal.
What?
It's you so thought my shirt green. Was pink, but it's green.
Green. That's good. With yellow
hats. Green with
like
a yellow
lemon,
hat?
Lemon lime.
I kind of like that.
The lemon lime ladies.
The Sprite ladies.
The, look, when I, as I get
Sprite
older.
Ladies, Sprite-ly. Sprite-ly. The Sprite-ly ladies.
We're going to get sponsored by Sprite. And then
we already just brought
everything paid for by Sprite.
We brought commerce and just, capitalism into our enjoyment of being older.
Like matching Nikes that are sponsored by Sprite
wonderful.
That have this Nike swoosh, and but it says Sprite.
Yes.
In the shape of the swoosh.
We have now two giant sponsors.
This is really good.
There's a good chance we're going to play table tennis and we'll have some sort of uniform that combines all of these things as well.
One piece.
Like the Sprightlies.
You know when they is this a thing? Maybe it was like when you were a baby that you would wear an outfit that was made out of like washcloth material.
Dairy cloth.
Oh my God.
Okay, what I'm thinking immediately is number one, yes, it is washcloth
is
material.
Just all dairy cloth?
Number two, I think that's what a lot of like I have in my, I flashed immediately to this, the bottom drawer of my dresser where I keep kind of like t-shirts like, to sleep in and like this and that. But I also have folded up in there a terry cloth kind of jumper that would only be appropriate on a little girl, but I do wear it sometimes.
It's
like a white jumper with like a thin navy stripe and it is made of washcloth material. If I needed to...
I couldn't just call it terry cloth. What an idiot. Just, I believe there's a thing. Look, this. You may not know about
it. I got myself
Look,
an
I'm
idea.
I'm pretty insightful about clothing materials. Have you heard of washcloths? Now they're making them larger. You can form them into clothes. I'm revolutionizing the
Do
clothing
they
industry.
Have something? Now, listen, I don't want to talk out of school, but I have always noticed that sheep are very soft and fuzzy. Has anyone ever made anything out of a sheep's
To just make it into thread and then sew things together, like make full outfits out of it.
I mean, I don't know. Am I being crazy here?
I think that sounds like a good idea.
It's just something to think about. It's just something to think about.
My point is, I think that in our Sprite group, we should wear terry cloth, like,
agreed.
Like one piece pantsuits.
Agreed, 100%. I love a pantsuit. I'm wearing a jumpsuit right now.
I like it.
Not only am I wearing green, but I'm wearing a jumpsuit. Except for the part where when you're in a public bathroom and you have to like get all the way
naked.
Undressed.
Oh my God. I have an amazing story from my childhood about this problem.
I love this segue right now.
Do you like this segue?
I love it.
This is one of my favorite stories because it was epic in my life. I used to take gymnastics when I was a little girl. And we're talking like, I mean, I was probably like 6 or 7. I was pretty young. Gymnastics, like the full thing. Mat. And the beam and the bars Ooh. And the horse.
I always wanted to be able to do that stuff. I never did anything like that.
So, yeah, I did it. So I did it. I mean,
and that's such a great age to do it because you're so flexible. Little kids
and you're
are like
fearless. So you're I'm going to jump over the thing. Whereas like now if you went to do it, I actually tried to do gymnastics in my adult life, like 4 years ago because I knew a girl and it was fun, but it was terrifying.
Sure.
Everything she tried to get us to do, I was like, man, I don't know. Isn't there like a step before doing it the way you just did it? She's like, now we're just doing handstands across the floor. I was like, well, I don't know.
You just imagine your bones snapping in a way that you're right. You don't as a child.
As a kid,
I'm so glad that you got the opportunity to do that. Please continue.
Well, it went south pretty fast when one day it was like the day that we were transitioning from the low beam to the high beam. It was a big day. And I really had to go to the bathroom. And we're all wearing leotards, which are like the, you know, the onesies that we wear today.
Yes.
They're the onesies of gymnastics, the original onesies.
Yes, they are.
So I go to the bathroom and the bathroom, they only had these like industrial, very like grown up bathrooms at this place. And the door for a small child, the door was so
grown up bathrooms. I love
it. Seemed so adult. Like it was a one room bathroom. The door was so far from the toilet. I couldn't. So I go in, I had to pee so bad. I couldn't figure out how to lock the door. And it's not like you could keep your hand on the stall door. You know, it's just this big adult bathroom. I close the door. I'm freaking out. And I would go, I like would creep over to the toilet. And you know, when you have to, there's two ways to pee in a leotard. You either have to take it all the way off or you can do the pull to the side.
Which is a little bit of a risk.
It's tricky when you're that age.
Yeah.
I've mastered it now.
Well,
so my leotard peeing is a dream.
Fantastic.
And I wear leotards constantly.
I know I feel I must wear leotards all the time to pay tribute to my skill.
But at the time, I didn't know. So I kept standing there to like, would get like almost all the way naked. And then I hear a noise in the hall and I pull my leotard back on. No. I couldn't do it. I couldn't pee. I was so terrified someone was going to walk in.
Oh, no.
So I go back out and they're like, Allison, you're up next on the beam. I get on the balance beam. You see where this is going. I get on the balance beam. I get halfway. I'm dead center on the balance beam. And this is like a big gym. All the kids' parents are there watching. I have to stop, like, you know, when you have to pee so bad and you can't even move. And then I just go. I just pee right in the middle of the high balance beam and just down my leg, onto the beam, onto the mat. Kids are screaming. The teacher was like, my dad's there. He comes running up to the teacher like, what's happening? The teacher goes to my dad. I don't know what's going on. She just peed. Then they grab me and they're like, my dad's like, Allison, is that true?
And I'm like,
yeah. So then.
Wait, you acted shocked by the whole thing too? Like, I don't know how this has happened.
Yeah. Oh, no. So then my dad took me to the doctor to get me tested. I get tests done to see if I had like urinary problems. Like I couldn't control my pee. And
my heart is breaking for you. I almost can't laugh.
I couldn't say anything. I felt so bad. And then we went straight from there, I feel like, even to like urgent care. They're trying to get these tests done. And I couldn't pee because I had just gone. And my dad comes in the bathroom and he turns the water on and he turns around, like his back is towards me. And he's just like, well, now the water's running. Are you going? And I was like, no, I can't go. And he was like, what do you mean you can't go? 20 minutes ago, you were peeing all over the place.
Oh, no, no, no.
I was just like, I don't know. Oh. And then I finally peed, and they were just did tests, and they were like, yeah, nothing's wrong with her. We don't know.
I told you that.
20 years later, I was like, oh, yeah, remember that time, Dad, that happened?
Oh, did you really? Do you finally say, like, yeah, by the way?
Years later. Yeah. I was like, it was so embarrassing.
And I'm sure he was like, Allie, you didn't have to go through all of that. P.S. Those hospital bills were expensive. Yeah,
we spent the day there. It was so unnecessary. No. So I never did gymnastics again.
I love that you carried it through to going to the emergency room.
It was so interesting because it's embarrassing.
I mean, but that's what's interesting and weird about it is that it feels like the most embarrassing part ended. Like the most embarrassing part had already happened. You had peed in front of everyone. Everyone knew, and that was over. And the rest of it would just be between you and your dad, basically. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's so interesting that like you tried to retain some dignity even with your father.
Even with my dad, it's true. It was like, because you know why? I think. And he probably was, I think he was just worried about me, but as a kid, it translates like anger, and yeah. I think I didn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So it was like, I must be sick. I don't know. Like my body's doing things. They're out of my control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I didn't know how to explain.
Just relieve yourself of all responsibility. It was never going to be your fault if it was medical.
No, if it was exactly. It was like, there was nothing I could do.
Did that scare you off of doing gymnastics afterwards?
Oh yeah. I never went back. I never went back. And I wasn't too bad at it.
I think we just wrote a Kristen Wiig movie.
Like, I think now you. She's gonna return.
I mean, it doesn't
gymnastics.
Have to be her. It could be you. I'm not saying
Thank
it couldn't
you.
Be
Jeez.
You. I think I was just describing a movie that could have already have been made.
They
starring
may have
Kristen.
Already made it with her.
She goes back to get over. It's gonna be. It's something to do with like you know. Here. Let's make it right now.
It's like
you're
Olympics.
About to get married. We know that's important in movies right now,
yes, you're
as
right.
you can attest from yes. a recent smash hit that you were in.
Smash hit.
I'm just gonna brown nose you through this entire podcast. You're just about to get married,
and you realize that you have Kristen Wiig.
And you have cold feet.
Yes.
And you can't.
And I go to the psychiatrist. We're trying to figure it out. Finally, I go to a hypnotist.
Yes.
And we realize that the root of all of it.
You regress on camera. You regress to that little girl.
And we realize that I have to go back to gymnastics and conquer the high beam.
Yes. It's possible you end up not marrying that guy because you realize you don't really love him.
Probably not because I'm going to fall in love with the instructor at the YMCA.
Who's a woman.
Yes.
It's getting, really. Now it's getting, suddenly it's maybe more like Little Miss Sunshine meets Sunshine Cleaner. It's like, just, there's going to be more indie. It got more quirky indie.
Which I like. I appreciate it. Now I'm back to starring in it instead of Kristen Wiig.
Now you've been given carte blanche to turn it into a surprise indie darling. That's what it's going to be.
I'm going to go write this.
This sounds a lot of great ideas have been born on this podcast, not the least of which is this one. What would we call it? Gymnastics.
Balance.
You're older.
Beam.
Something about balance.
Like the balancing act.
Ooh, I love it. You know what? It's because you think that maybe your fear is that you're not going to be able to balance everything in your life because you're a super achiever.
Full. Exactly.
Yes, you're a super achiever. Now and so you're type A because you're constantly trying to fix that one mistake.
Yes, yes.
So you're too busy and you're like, I have cold feet because I'm so overcommitted. I don't want to let our relationship down. I'm just trying to balance everything.
Yes.
But it really turns out to be literally
double
to do
meaning.
With the balance beam.
Yes.
We joke about this, but this is something that could be made.
People are going to listen to this, actually,
this.
And we're going to be like, oh, someone's going to steal this idea.
No one's going to steal this idea because you and
I
are taking this idea. Yeah. This is the copyright
because
as soon as it comes out.
This is good.
This is fantastic, you guys. There is a very good chance that Nike and Sprite will jump on board straight
Obviously.
Away.
Sponsors.
And I think we could even bring in, it could be like, oh, I sense, now we're getting back into the sort of big blockbuster
budget.
But okay. I sense a kooky grandma character.
Yes, she remembers it
who
all.
Who remembers it all, who's sort of like your sounding board, and she's one of these sprightly ladies who walks around wearing the green outfit with a yellow hat all the time.
Perfect. It's so good. Yeah, well, she brings me, she goes, well, you can come to my Y, because that's where they do their,
that's where
you know,
they
water
do her.
Sports.
She does her water
every
sports. She
Thursday.
It's like water sports / like water dancing. What is that?
Yeah.
Why am I, it's not
like
water
synchronized
dancing. Synchronized swimming.
Thank you. Synchronized spinsing, you know.
Well, she's a spinster.
She's this is the spin-off movie of The Balancing Act. The Balancing Act starring Jennifer Aniston. Ooh,
this
and
is
Adam
gold.
Sandler.
Except for that part, maybe. That's that
we
could
recast.
Doom it. I'm definitely back to you. You're in it. You're in it from beginning to end, and I hope I didn't hurt your feelings by suggesting Kristen
Wiig.
No.
You know what
you've got what it takes.
I don't mind Kristen Wiig playing the lead and me playing the girl that she falls in love with at the gym. What if I'm her little coach?
Oh, I like this. Who is she? And also, I guess in my mind I was imagining her competing against someone, but then she would be competing against other adult women who all have this problem.
Well, maybe,
I don't know.
Wait, maybe that it's like School of Rock, how like then her kids, the support group of kids, she makes friends with the kids at the gym.
Oh, I like the idea of her being the only adult who takes the classes and all the little kids get on board.
This is super sweet.
It is super sweet.
I love this. I love Kristen Wiig in this part. Who's the guy?
I'm still applauding
it
being
you.
All right, no, you're right. There's no way.
As much as I would like to see that happen.
I mean, I'll take a Paul Rudd any day of the week.
Agreed. And
because then we get the funny, kooky, and like sarcastic.
And I buy him working at the Y.
I kind of do too.
Being
great with kids.
Yeah, and being good with kids.
You put a whistle around that guy's neck, we're home free.
Gold.
Oh, this is really something.
This just became really sweet.
I'd love also for there to be an opportunity for the daughter, the granddaughter, to repay the favor with grandma, and somehow she hooks her up
with
there's some
their
sort
group.
Of person in her world or someone that she meets at the Y
that
she connects her grandma with.
Who's going to be the jilted fiance?
Good question. I mean, we know a lot of I'd love to throw a Joel McHale in there. We could just throw, right?
Yeah.
He could be.
Bad. Yeah, poor Joel.
He could be, well, you know, he's going to end up with somebody else who's more.
He is more his.
Because they're both these
him.
Type A. It's sort
it's
of the
true.
Jerry Maguire thing where but he's more like
Joel
Kelly Preston character where he's like, he's still really aggressive.
Yeah.
And,
but we don't want to make him a total asshole because we don't want to tip people off that she's definitely not going to end up
that's
with
him.
True. You still want to kind of like. Joel.
He's a go getter.
Yeah.
Well, and it's Joel, so you always like Joel.
Exactly.
That's why we cast him.
It is why.
I hope he accepts our offer. I'm not sure what the budget is yet.
I don't know.
The Nike thing might kick it up to his level.
It's true.
Because he's a very busy guy, so we got to make it worth his while. Guys, I could talk about this movie pitch for the rest of the podcast. We're 20 minutes in. We haven't even established where you grew up, although I do know it to be this area, right? You're from
nearby,
South Pass, I think.
I am, yes. South Pasadena, yeah. So I grew up there.
Do you have siblings? I don't know if you have siblings.
I do. I have an older sister.
Okay.
I have an older sister.
How much older is she?
Just under 2 years older. So we're very close.
Yeah.
In
were
age
you?
And in life.
Yeah?
We are. You know what? We're
does
so close.
Does she still
close.
Live here?
She does. She lives in the Valley.
Can I ask you more questions and not give you the chance to answer the previous ones?
Yes.
Great. That one worked out, actually.
It did.
All right. She's two. Okay. So she's a little under 2 years.
She's 2 years older.
She lives in the Valley.
She lives in the Valley.
And you were close when you were teenagers. That's a question I didn't let you answer.
Well, sort of. We're never enemies. I feel like when we were little kids, we would fight a lot. Like, I remember notable fights like her throwing a Barbie at my head.
Oh.
Like, but we were too old to be playing with Barbie. So it wasn't like we were like 3 and 5.
Yeah.
We were a little older than that. Having fights because she was very rebellious and I was not at all. I was like super like daddy's girl and mommy's girl and like just did all my homework always. I was like the good. So even
did you do that in reaction to her behavior, do you think? Or was it just one of those like some you have two kids and people say your two kids couldn't be more different?
Probably a little bit of both. I think especially when we were in middle school and then high school, she would get in so much trouble for like ditching school or, you know, sneaking out to a party with her friends. And I would just see her get in so much trouble. So, yeah, I think that I would be like, oh, I don't want that to happen. And even then, once I was in high school, like by senior year, if I would ditch school or I guess I never sneaked out, but if I would ditch school, I just would do it the right way and not get caught.
Right. And also,
I just learned how to manage it so I could still get A's and then also ditch school. Like it wasn't like one or the other. I was kind of
same.
Figured it out. I feel like even sometimes I would tell my parents, I'd be like, you know, because I turned 18 my senior year of high school. And I guess for some reason that I, you know, because I was legally an adult, I could write my own notes.
Are you serious?
To leave school. And so
that's a boon.
Sometimes I would just tell my mom, I'd be like, you know, oh, and we switched on to block scheduling. Do you know what that is? Where you just have three classes is like an hour and a half.
Yeah, we had that like, I think we had that Tuesdays and Thursdays. Like we had six periods on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then we had block schedule Tuesday, Thursday. It was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Memory
serves. Well, we had block scheduling. I think we just switched my senior year and then we had it every day. So it was like odd classes.
Why did
Tuesday,
they do
Thursday,
that?
Even classes. I guess the idea was that you get more out of being in one class for an hour and a half. You kind of get to delve more into stuff and do it like that. But for me, it just made it easier to ditch because I was like, oh, if I skip my first class, I don't even have to be to school till
that's
10,
like an hour
like
and a half. Yeah, I remember thinking like, that too. Like, oh, that's an endless hour and a half of biology or whatever. I wasn't excited.
The procrastination because I'm a terrible procrastinator.
Me too.
And that made it so much worse too because you'd get out of your class and instead of, I feel like my, you know, freshman year, sophomore year, I would like go right home from school and do all my homework right away for the next day. And then senior year, it was just kind of like, I guess also you're a senior, but I felt like it was you were like, well, this homework isn't due for a couple days, so I'll just wait until tomorrow night.
I think I'm already sensing a lot of parallels between the two of us. I think we are, you can tell me, I'm going to project this and then you can tell me if I'm completely wrong.
Shoot.
But everything you're saying makes me feel, and the listeners already know this about me, but that the idea of like being a people pleaser who still wants to get away with stuff and finding a way to make people think that you would like, I think people thought she's a really good student. Like she, like they didn't think I was a procrastinator.
Same.
But I absolutely was.
Oh,
like
same.
I would, anything. I mean, I would definitely be like watching reruns of Scooby-Doo or whatever when I should have been. And then at the very last minute, I would just churn something out.
Oh, absolutely.
I could get away with.
In college, I would, without fail, write all of my papers. And I went to CalArts, is a great school for your métier, but like for your general ed classes, it's kind of, it's a little bit of a joke.
Yeah.
And the longest paper, you'd have to write maybe 3 to 5 page papers. This is college.
Oh,
and that was like the longest paper that you would write. But without fail, every time we had the big like midterm paper due, I would write it the morning of, always.
Yeah.
I would just go to the library, knock it out in a few hours and then go turn it straight in.
Yeah.
Like late. I'd skip the class, write it, and then turn it in at the end and be
like, totally get it.
But it's true. At the same senior year of high school, I had to switch. I had been in honors English until junior year when I had he's a really good teacher. And I think it just was finally like, you're not doing the work. Like, what are
someone
you doing in honors
you on
English?
It.
And I was like, what do you mean?
Look at how big and beautiful my eyes are.
But I can
talk
so much.
And how smiley I am. And
So he was like, I think you should transfer into just regular English. And I was like, that's fine with me. Because, I don't know. I just didn't really care. And I remember loving being in regular English because I didn't read anything. I sound so awful. I was the worst student, but I would get A's because I would read like the first 5 pages of the chapter that we were supposed
you
to read.
Worked the system.
And then I would come and be the person in class that was talking the most. I would lead the class discussion on
little
that
actress.
Because I would find some little thing. I'd be like, you know, I found it's a really interesting statement about feminism that she's in this outfit the whole time. I mean, what? The fact that they chose to put her in that, and then it was just a discussion about feminism.
I love it. I need to amend this. I will say this.
You did
I was a nerd about English because I loved reading. So I was nerd about English, but every other subject that I could get away with like the minimum, I would do the minimum. But I really loved
reading.
I did love all my English classes. I guess I still wrote papers late. There's no question about that. But I loved the material. Like what I guess bothered me is I loved reading the books, but I resented having to do homework about them. I read it and I loved it. Isn't that enough?
That I want to answer about
exactly.
It. It's true. I feel like only in senior year did I finally really stop reading. I did love reading the stuff up until then, in my defense. I'm not like a total
sustained
asshole.
I don't know why I just made myself a judge. Your Honor.
But I feel like I guess I was just so obsessed with drama and reading tons of plays and doing all of my drama work that was the only thing I cared about. And I would do my other homework. I didn't want to not get A's, but I wasn't a perfect student either. I was terrible at science. I never did well in my science.
What about
classes,
math? That's
weird.
A number one.
I did great at math.
You did.
Isn't that weird? But then I stopped taking it senior year because once I got into CalArts, I was like, I don't need to do math. And now I'm terrible at math. Mm-hmm. It's the worst. And it's the worst thing. It's so embarrassing. If I'm at a restaurant and you're paying, you're adding your tip and stuff. And I'm like counting on my fingers, numbers. It's so embarrassing. And I used to be really good at math. It's just
impressed.
Use it or lose it.
I'm impressed that you
just
were good
at
it. I'm just impressed that you were good at math. I mean, first of all, I don't want to perpetuate any sort of myth that girls are bad at math and boys are good at math or anything like that, or that artistic people can't be good at math. I always wanted to be. I liked the idea of being good at math. I just couldn't understand. I've probably said this on the podcast before, but I couldn't understand how it feels like, if there's only one right answer, I should have to stop at a certain point and have no answer. There's only one right one, I don't want to calculate through and get an answer and then have it be wrong. But the answer is 5. My answer is 5. Janet, that's not right. That's not the right answer. But I got there. I got to that number.
You made something up along the way.
But I did. But I did a calculation. I wanted to be like a machine that breaks where if you come down, it's all, like, you know what
but
I wanted
see,
to be
it
like?
It did break. You just didn't notice.
I just didn't notice. But that's what made me crazy is I thought, well,
you're
but
like,
I did work and
obvious.
I got an answer.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't understand. Almost like if you're doing a crossword puzzle or something where like you get to a certain point and if you're wrong,
then you're
you'll
like, oh,
know.
This doesn't match up.
And you have time to go back and figure out what it was before you have to, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think that's what made me crazy about math.
Because then you don't have to go through the embarrassment of turning it in and having them be like,
yeah,
not 5.
Yeah. And getting like a grade where
the asshole math teacher, Janet, you thought it was 5.
And the comment version of that, like as you get your test back, where it's like, how did you get this exclamation mark, question mark, exclamation mark.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for making me feel more like garbage than I already did from getting that C.
I don't know. I liked math. I don't know why. I don't know why I was good at math.
I kind of liked science. I liked the idea behind the science stuff. I think I was interested. I also had a huge crush on my science teacher.
See, and I think that happened for me. I don't know if I had a my senior year, or it was like, because we ours was backwards. I feel like we went in science. You started with physics, and then you did chemistry, and then you did biology.
Wait a minute.
So physics, I was like, I'll never understand this ever. Wait, I think I got a D. It's like the only D I've ever gotten. That? I don't know. I have no idea. And our physics teacher was so cold. He was just like a robot man, and everyone was terrified of him. Terrified. Oh, so that
that's
class
a terrible class. That you need to you need like a dynamic, interesting, funny teacher for the sciences. Yeah. I think to like really make it.
And accessible. I guess I was so frustrated because I was good at math, and physics is mostly math.
It is.
So
I never even like, took physics, by the way.
If I get this stuff, why don't I get fucking vectors and shit?
That is, this is the part where the cat puts her paw delicately on Allison's arm.
It's okay.
And taps
at
it.
I hate vectors too.
I just want you to know I'm here and I'm available for petting. Very available to be petted. Very available.
But biology I loved, and I loved my teacher, Mr. Ring. I don't know if I had like a real like crush on him. Like I wouldn't like fantasize about him, but I loved him because he was so nice. And he, I would even be like, I feel like I went into that class even being like, look, I've always been mad at science. I'm not going to understand this. And he was like that teacher from a movie that was you're going to understand it. We're going to get through this. Come on.
Love it.
And I was so sassy at that point in classes. I just talked a lot. If I got in trouble for anything in class, it would be talking. And
you talk, but you mean speak out versus speaking to other people or both?
Both.
Yeah.
No, I guess more speak out.
I like to crack wise for sure.
Yeah. I don't know why. I was super sassy and he just kind of didn't, I think he found it a little bit charming. And then also, so he wouldn't take my shit, rather than me getting in trouble, he'd be like, Allison, that doesn't make any sense what you're saying. Don't talk about it. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? He would kind of call me on it rather than just being like, Allison, you could not speak in this class.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like a step between treating you like a peer and treating you like a teacher student. There's a sort of a middle, a nice, like sweet spot of like I'm still in charge, but I respect you enough to sort of like say like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was I think actually that's a lot how Mr. Matz was. My teacher, Mr. Matz. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a terrible crush. And then I know I've already said this. I apologize again with the podcast. You forget like, have I told this story before? But I definitely have told this the story of me seeing him and recently, like within the last 5 years and going, yep, totally still have it.
Really?
Same crush.
But you didn't act on it because he's married.
He's married and has kids. And I'm sure my dad would have been real uncomfortable because my dad taught at the high school that I went to.
Oh, wow.
But I did acknowledge to my dad that I had a crush on him. Like I felt I'm over 30 or maybe I was 30 or whatever. I can tell my father that I have a huge crush on this teacher. And I think my dad was like, my dad's very cool anyway. I think he was like, I get it. Hank's great.
He was like, fair enough.
And he's not my dad's age. Like Hank is, Mr. Matz, I can't call him Hank. I can't If I ever dated a teacher, I'd be like, Mr. Matz, thanks for these roses. but he was way younger than my dad. So I think when, I told my dad, I think he was like, I can totally see that. But yeah, my dad was a teacher of mine, which sort of feeds back into the idea of like, how do I ditch class but somehow seem still like a good kid? That's where it gets weaselly. Okay, so your sister still lives here, and are your parents still together?
No, my parents were divorced when I was 5 years old, and they just always lived really close to one another. So my whole life, I just went back and forth week to week from their
houses. If you were an only child, we would have the same life. Because that's the same. My parents lived like 2.5-3 miles apart from each other.
Yeah.
And
I would go 1 week, 1 week. It was the worst part about it, really, I feel like, was that I never decorated my rooms or like unpacked my stuff. I would carry my stuff in a laundry basket to the other house because I didn't. But it was just
so did you feel like you never felt like you had that space that was to call your own at either house?
Well, I don't know because I don't know. That's not actually true because I loved my bedrooms, and particularly at my mom's house, even though both my parents kind of moved around a lot, but at my mom's house where she lived for a while when I was in kind of middle school, high school, I don't know why, but I got the big bedroom and my sister got, I think my sister chose No, this isn't true.
Sounds like she could have been punished into getting the small bedroom.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I think the thing was, my bedroom had a door that went right into the backyard.
Okay.
So
that's way too
she was
sticky
not
for her. Yeah, she could have come and go as she pleased.
But she did anyway, because her bedroom was kind of right next to the side door to the house, so it kind of didn't end up mattering. Yeah. But I don't know how. I don't know how she got punished into that, but... she was pissed.
You got the
I think.
Big room,
and I had the big room, so I loved my room. And I had like a little walk-in closet, even, and that's
Hello.
Where I would keep like things that I would collect and play with.
What did you collect and play with? You know, I have to ask.
Lots of things.
Let's talk about this. Collect and play with. Were we talking about like figurines, dolls, that kind of stuff? Or are we talking about more obscure, abstract stuff?
Well,
and what age are we talking about?
Well, I collected glass animals from when I was like kind of young, like young enough to kind of like get a couple of them as presents. And then I would go to the mall. It was like a special treat that I could get one. And I would try to find matching ones to make
clear
little
glass
families.
Or little porcelain ones.
Both.
Because if you take a look around my house, I've never made more visual references on any podcast episode than this one. It is
history.
Covered with tiny little toys and figurines. And I'll take you to my bedroom. I'll take you to my bedroom after this. I still have some of those little figurines. So
I had this glass dish that was kind of like, you know, big size kind of glass platter. Mm-hmm. And I would keep everybody on the platter.
Your
and
glass menagerie. Let's say the word. Let's say the words. You didn't know the play at that time. You must have freaked out whenever you
when
first
I read it. I was like,
glass menagerie.
That's me. Oh, God. I'm going to die alone.
You had a normal walk, though. I'm assuming your leg was normal.
No, it was wonky.
Interesting. What a twist.
Actually, when I was a baby, I had a wonky foot.
Did
and all
you?
These pictures of me, my I have literally two left feet. And then all these pictures of me, they had to put, because I had like a prosthetic shoe that I wore when I was a little baby before I could walk.
Angel.
So I never had a wonky walk, but I had a wonky feet when I was a little baby.
That is close enough. Your name was never going to be Laura, was it? Is that the character's name?
My sister's name is Lauren. So it's close. It's getting close.
This is
it's very
somehow
sad.
I love the idea that your parents somehow fabricated all this based on the play.
They made it.
Is there any way we can have our daughter born with a wonky foot?
We really want her to have a depressing life. How can we facilitate this? But yeah, I loved my glass animals, and I would go in my closet and play with them till I was too old to do that, like middle school age.
I did everything till I was too old. Like stuff like that, for sure. I did. I had too long. And that's where that ties back into the getting kooky as we get older thing.
Yeah.
And my mom still puts stickers when she sends me letters. There will be like a shamrock, like a smattering of shamrock stickers for when it's right around. I can't throw any of them away. I save all the letters from my mom.
Letters, like you mean
she sends me letters. She sends me cards, but she will take, I wish that I had, I'm glad that I don't have it because it would be yet another visual reference, but maybe I can take a picture and put it on just one of our fans who's become a friend, Jules, who lives in New Zealand, does our Pinterest. I say our. I just mean it belongs to all of us who have the JV Club. I don't have a staff or anything. But
I look around.
It's
suddenly
just
people
me.
Just pop
yeah,
out.
There's an office. Here at the JV headquarters, there's nothing. But she puts like visual images of all the stuff that gets talked about on podcasts. So like if you go to Gillian's episode, you'll see all of these visual representations of what was discussed. So you'll see little glass animals and like, I guess maybe some little girls wearing leotards. I'm not sure. There's a lot that's going to be manifested
for
you.
That'll be fun.
But maybe I'll take a picture of when my mom fills out, this is why I say this, because she sends me a greeting card, but she writes in every white space on the greeting card.
Oh,
so it's a letter.
So it is a letter.
So it's like the, and what makes me laugh is that she knows that she does this, but she still does that thing. And maybe we all do where you start at the part of the card that you would normally open up that has like the greeting on it, but then it starts up at the top with like the date and then it goes fills in and then it goes over to the left hand side. But like, why don't you just start on the left hand side? Yes,
arrow.
The arrow. Like I'm not gonna know. Like I have to trace the arrow all the way up.
Where do I go next?
Oh my God, what is this? There's a whole other letter on this side that makes no sense.
And then I went, where did she go? What? I don't. Well, I'm not going to read this stuff. Yeah. Who knows what that is? I don't know why that's over there.
Oh, there's an arrow.
Oh, there's an arrow.
It's a clue. It's a clue.
She went to the market yesterday. Oh, God. This makes so much more sense.
It is exactly that. And then the back of the card. So
I love it.
It's a letter and it's very newsy and it's very much about what's going on with the neighborhood association and just, and, you know, the like what French book she's French. She speaks French. And so she reads like French novels and stuff.
Oh,
and
amazing.
So she'll fill me in on all of that. Her. And
I want to be her.
She's pretty cool. She's pretty cool. She's recently retired. And I think, I don't know. I did have that sense because I think she had apprehension about it of what does retirement look like because she just is such a hard worker and she is so social. And so she wasn't really sure what that was going to be like for her. And so it's been like almost 2 years since she retired. And still all of her letters are like, I just love this. Like I had awesome. Such a rigid schedule before, like this day I made sure I went and did this and this and this. And she's like, now I realize I can just go walk over to the grocery store. Yeah. So she's really celebrating that. And a lot of that has been like, you know, she goes on, she walks 5 miles a day, no matter what. And she's got like her magazines. So I get a subscription for her to Real Simple, which she used to just let stack up because she didn't have time to read it. Now she's like, I was perusing, and she'll take snips, you know, snip some stuff out.
Did you know you can use your old yoga mat as a thing under your, you know,
dish rack? Did you know that when you're finished wearing your terry cloth clothes, you can cut them up and turn them into washcloths, Janet? I mean, it is a revolution.
It is crazy.
I mean, I guess I never
thought about this material.
It's washcloth material. I never put the two together. So she's, did your parents still work?
Are they? Yeah, they both still work. My mom works for Parlos Niños Downtown, which is a non-for-profit. And she's there.
Oh boy.
She's like the head of child development over there,
nice.
I guess.
Do you get involved? Do you volunteer with that
organization? I haven't volunteered yet, but I'm in the middle of putting together like a charity show with my cover band. And I'm going to like be calling you and being like, hey, you want to come perform at this thing?
I would be honored. And I do play guitar and bass. So if you ever need like a bassist or a guest,
oh, that's
of any
incredible
kind,
to know. That's really good because the band that we play with is in New York, so we're always like, okay, when can we get you guys out here? What are we gonna do?
I'll fill in a heartbeat.
So now I know.
What's your cover band?
We're called The Girls Who Sing Other People's Songs.
Fantastic.
And it's just me and my friends Juliana Gwill and Serena Fialo, and we just started doing it this summer because this band, we played two shows.
Love it.
They both went great.
See?
This band that Danny Pudi knows.
Yeah.
Jones Street Station. Danny and I sang with the friends of Danny's. Danny and I sang with them last year, and they were like, why don't you come out and sing a show? Like, why don't you just come and sing with us sometime in New York? And I sort of thought they meant do the same thing, like pop in on one of their songs with them in New York. And I was like, oh, yeah, anytime. Like, if I'm ever there and you're doing a concert. And they're like, why don't you just come out and like open for us? Let me preface this by saying the context of this conversation was after their show where Danny and I just sang and we were at my house and everybody was wasted. Like a drunk conversation in the kitchen of him being like, just come out. Like, you could open for our band. And I'm like, what? And they're like, we'd play as your band. And I'm like, what? What would I sing? And they're like, anything you want. So
I love this.
Literally, like, I feel like a week later, they had flown home and I emailed them and was like, hey, would you guys really be serious about that? Because sometimes I sing with my girlfriends and we would totally do it. And they were like, yeah, we were totally serious about it. I think it just became a series of us nobody wanting to call the other person's bluff.
It was like cover band chicken game.
It was. And it was just sort of like them being like,
We will do it. All right, we will. Right.
Here's our set list. They're like, all right, well, we found a venue. We're like, okay, well, here's a date we can come. It was just like literally.
That's awesome.
But then it went so well that we were like, oh, and right away we did another one. We did that one in New York. Then we did one out here in LA.
This is incredible. So you got to pick like the songs you got excited about covering.
Yeah.
It's a dream.
So there's three of us. So we all just, I guess we kind of, how many songs? We ended up doing like 8 songs and we each kind of chose two that were kind of, that were like our choices and we sing the lead on. And then we had 2 more that we kind of all sing together.
Nice.
But yeah. And we basically just tried to break them down and do like 3-part harmonies and make them interesting. And because the band is sort of a bluegrass band, we kind of try to have that feel to songs that are just
there's so much good stuff happening that is an overlap of the things that you and I both like that I'm losing my mind a little bit. It's totally amazing. That's really cool. So you're going to be doing that.
So we're going to put together a charity show right now, which is in the works to profit para los niños. And
have you ever done Young Storytellers?
No, and
you would be so great on that. Those are so much fun to do.
Doing it, and sometimes it just seems like whenever I get an email, it's right around the most hectic time.
It's like, do you want to perform at 12 noon on a Thursday, and you're in the middle of shooting?
It's like people know. It's like I'll spend weeks during the summer just la di da, and then as soon as we're right back at the height of our summer, they're like, "Hey, we'd love
now that I know that." Yeah, because I've been working with them for a long time. Whenever I can, it's sort of the same. Timing wise, but they just did like a benefit. They're starting to do more of these programs where they're doing. Guys, I should preface this by saying Young Storytellers Foundation is a program in Los Angeles. I think they're opening up a New York version, but it's sending writers into schools to mentor kids to write plays and stuff. And so it's a program where the mentors actually come in and spend 6 weeks with the kids. I think once a week or something. And then at the end, they put on these what they call big shows, and so all the playwrights meet, and then in the afternoon, actors come in and they audition to be in the plays, and then they perform them for the rest of school. So it's such a fun program, and the plays are 5-6 minutes long, and they're all so funny and random, like the stuff that happens. And
how old are the kids? Because they're pretty.
The kids are like.
It varies, no?
Yeah, it does vary. I think often they're like around 10 ish.
Have you seen this thing that was just online that's like. It was like written by children. The first episode just went up, and it was like Joss Whedon and Kate Micucci. And
I know what you're talking about, and I haven't watched
Dave
it yet.
Foley
I gotta watch it. Yeah.
It's really cute.
I'm sure it's funny. Like this.
It's the same. It's
the
like
stuff
a little
that
kid.
Happens. You're like, oh,
a little
this
kid, and they're
happens.
Like, so what's the name of the story? And he's like, Scary Smash. And they're like, okay, Scary Smash. And then they animate it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm choking.
Allison's really choking. Oh, your water's behind there. So if you the nice thing is that for the nighttime shows it's not it's like more like 8 o'clock and doing it we did it at King King and it was the kids were there but you perform them for adults and there's booze and stuff and it raises money for the organization. Yes, there is. And then we did an improv set where we basically it was great. It was like June Raphael and Casey June. Wilson and Matt Walsh and the Sklar brothers, like all these great people that we know and love. And so after the kids left, then they had us do like an improv set off of one of their stories. Like audience decided
amazing.
What story. And then we improvised
the
story was really great. The story was, it was the most kind of, it was still bananas crazy, but it was like the most, it had the most sort of arc to it and the most kind of clever dialogue and stuff. And if memory serves, the story was about, now I'm forgetting because I'm remembering all the improvs we did off of it, all the scenes we did off of it, but it definitely involved like a series of paparazzi and like a little ugly girl who falls in love with a paparazzo and something about like
this is a very contemporary
yeah it was very
story.
Contemporary it was very Hollywood but it was kind of a great it was a great little story with terrific characters and so we just riffed off of that and that was super fun. Okay, so your mom works at Para los Niños?
Yes.
And what's your dad do?
My dad is a freelance entertainment journalist.
Okay.
And he's also a musician, so he makes music regularly. He's a singer, songwriter, guitarist, and he records it on his own and nice. Then just puts it out on his own. So
how cool is that?
It's so cool. It's something I've always admired about my dad is just that like I always forget actually that he works as a journalist because
his music is really his like the thing he likes
thing.
To talk about
and yes and yeah. And he's all my life. I grew up with him playing gigs and like I would sing with him sometimes at his shows and like that's just how I think of my dad, just as this like cool musician guy and I've always admired that like even when he's in between things or if that's not how he's making his main living, which it hasn't been for years now, he just makes music every day. He just continues to make music every day.
So
he just
good.
Loves it. It's his passion, and he's so great at it. I love his music. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What does your sister do?
My sister is a financial advisor.
I was about to say, because when you hear about the sort of artistic like in climate, you know, with your dad especially, but the idea of like a child turning out to be sort of the polar opposite in terms of like how they spend their days and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny to me too, especially when I say about how, you know, my sister was kind of rebellious as a teen and I was like the super good student. And now my sister is just like, I mean, talk about being good at math. My sister has this like amazing job. She's a partner at the, you know what I mean? At this big firm. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like this actress. I just do whatever. Like, just she's like the most responsible person in the world. She literally, up until recently, because she was handling all my stuff too. So she literally was just the boss of me, kind of running my life as well. I'm like, just talking about a person handy. That like has her shit together.
But that's so nice to have. I love the idea. Like, I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I didn't miss having siblings at all when I was younger. It never occurred to me, and it felt like a lot of my friends didn't get along with their siblings, so it never really occurred to me. But now, as an adult, having friends who are close to their siblings and stuff, I am envious of that sort of a couple of different things. Like, I love the family dynamic of when you have a good relationship with a sibling, the ways in which you still tease each other about like the old stuff and the old personality, like all the differences between personalities, but like the love is still there.
Yes.
And that root knowledge of like, I have known you my whole life and you just know me.
Everything. I feel like
that.
They're also sort of the people though that you can be like the meanest to because you're just like, well, you love me, you have to.
Your family.
Like, but not just the meanest, but like the most honest.
Yeah.
So it is sort of like, just the stuff I tell my sister, and I have close girlfriends, and I tell them everything. Like I tell a lot of people. I'm an oversharer.
Me too. I started a podcast so that I could overshare.
But like, but then my sister, it's just funny to me, like the level at which that I get on the phone with her, and the honesty is just so palpable. Like, you know, I'll be like, then this happened, and here's what really happened.
Yeah, because you know.
You know what I mean?
You know that there's like a shorthand where she's
judge me. She knows that she'll probably have something great to say about it, some good advice. And more often, I feel like the real amazing thing is that we can just debrief about our parents constantly.
Absolutely.
It's like, especially, and this is, I feel that way, what you're saying about how I feel about my parents being divorced again. Not to get too like therapy session here, but I feel like when I was growing up, it didn't faze me at all that my parents were divorced. They are both great parents. They both loved me and my sister so much. And so I always felt like, oh, I'm not getting cheated out of anything here. I spend equal time with both my parents. They're both so great, you know. But now, like as an adult, I don't know, as I look around at like my friends who have married parents, there's just something different. I'm like, oh, here are interesting things you've never had to deal with. Like just almost psychological things and just other things that like as you get older, it's just different.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that I have my sister to just kind of like debrief about constantly.
Couldn't understand, except for not having a sister, but I really understand the idea of like, you know, it's a fine line between, it's so hard because you want to understand yourself better and you want to be on a path to where you're sort of a better person and you want to understand why you are the way you are, but you also don't want to just like blame somebody else or spend a lot of time navel gazing in that way and be like, I guess it's because of this. Like, it's a fine line. It's hard.
Totally. It's between, exactly.
Balancing act.
Oh, the layers revealed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add that. Those layers to the script.
Please do. What were you going to say? I interrupted you.
No, I don't know. I think I was going to say something about it just being a fine line between, it's sort of what you're saying exactly. It's like you want to look to your parents to understand yourself. And I think it can be really easy for people to just blame them for everything.
Yeah.
Because you are kind of like, well, who else am I going to blame?
Right.
You made me.
Yeah. I didn't think about it at the time. But now that I look back, I was really upset at you for that thing that happened when I was six.
Exactly. And then you're like, well, that's a little easy.
Yeah.
There are other things that are shaping
it's
you.
Hard.
So it's hard to like, you want to kind of look at it.
I guess I think the main thing for me is the horrible cliche of being a child that's a product of divorce is that like the way that it affects my sense of what the, because if you really look at the closest examples you have in your life being your parents, there's like this natural assumption that their end game is your end game. And right. so, and that's yeah. super hard to get past, I think. And so yeah. that's sort of the example that I would give is yeah. I don't want to, there's no blame assigned at all for my parents being divorced. And like, they should be divorced and they, I'm right. glad they are right. and they exactly. should never
You're
stay
like,
together.
Oh, I understand why this didn't
yeah.
work out.
Yeah. And it's but... not their fault that that's the example I have, yeah. but it is something that you have to get over as a child of divorce where you feel Absolutely. Like, well, marriage ends in divorce. So why would I get married?
Absolutely.
It just feels like that's what, and people are like, but there are examples of that not happening. You're like, yeah, but this is the example yeah, that I understand at my core.
Every day of my entire life. Yeah. So,
so that's where it'll end.
This is the thing I know.
Yeah. yeah. So I just, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is other than yeah. that you just keep getting told by people, therapists and otherwise who just say you're not your parents and you yeah. will be your parents if you don't tell yourself you're not your parents.
Yeah. But I feel like, yeah, the step alone of having the awareness of looking at these things and analyzing them, I feel like is your journey to not being
yeah.
a thing you don't want to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And also,
I mean, and there are parts of my parents the, yeah. I would like to be.
Absolutely. I, yeah. I mean, you know I'm mean? Super grateful for all the stuff yeah. that I love about them. But I think, yeah, I think just those things that they wouldn't want for you either. Like they don't want right. to be like, no. you got to end, you know, this is the thing that probably was the hardest for you, you know, as a child that you had to watch me go through. Now I want you to go through it. Like they don't want
I
that
hope
either.
Your life ends the same
exactly.
way.
Why are they so evil? They're not evil. No. I have a thing that yeah. I'm really excited to do with you. First of all, I'm going to guarantee you that this is going to be one of those episodes because this is how I feel about it. That people are going to say, I could have listened to you guys talk for 2 more hours. That was too fast. I feel that it was too fast. If you can believe it, we've already talked for almost an hour.
Wow.
And the only reason that I won't go on forever, other than that, out of respect, I won't keep you here forever, is that as Allison knows from when she got here, I did that thing where I scheduled an eye appointment on a Saturday because I've been at Huffington Post every day of the week and will be for the rest of my life, is how it feels, which is fun. But I come from this world of, you know, I'm on hiatus this week, so I'm just going to do this, and this, and this errand, and I think maybe I'll go do this. Yeah, on a whim. Suddenly, it became immediately over the last 2 weeks, like, oh, I need to go to the eye doctor. We're shooting, like, we're in the offices like 10 hours. I need to, like, do this on a weekend.
Definitely the weirdest thing about our type of lifestyle is scheduling things that should not be difficult. Like, why are the most difficult things for me things that are part of everyone's everyday
yes,
life?
Yes.
It's just sort of like, no, it's not a difficult thing to check the mail and then read it.
I can't. Like, I have a mailbox mail? That is like not that far away.
Oh, it's like
I never get to it.
I check it once a month.
I never get to it. When I know stuff's there, like fan stuff, where I'm like, I know, guys, I know, I want to go get it.
I know.
But somehow that seems like insurmountable.
It's true.
I'm finding out how grown up I have to be with, like, you know what? This is not going to happen unless you do it on a Saturday. It won't happen.
It's true.
I have a cootie catcher, which, by the way, I went my whole life playing with cootie catchers, never having known them to be cootie catchers. And so I played a game of MASH.
You didn't know that the name was cootie catcher.
I don't
catcher.
Know. Yeah, I don't.
You know what? Me neither, really. Until Community, when they're like, the cootie catcher opening.
Well,
and I was like,
what's
what?
Amazing about this timing is that this was made by a fan and friend, someone I met through the podcast who, you know, I just was trading tweets with and stuff. And she and I had just traded emails and whatnot. And she suggested, as did a few other people, after I played the game MASH with Deanna Russo, someone was like, you gotta have a cootie catcher. And I wrote back, I don't know what that is. And I couldn't imagine what it was, but it sounded awful
gross.
And dirty.
Yeah.
And so it was, and then when it was explained to me, which, by the way, this is really hard to describe. You're like, it's that paper thing with the thing. And then you go one, two, three. And then, yeah. And I was like, oh, I know what that is. And I said, I don't even know how to make one. So Victoria made one and it was one of the things that I couldn't get to. It's beautiful. It's like printed. I will definitely take a picture of this for Pinterest and for the Facebook page.
Yeah.
She made it for me, and interestingly enough, you are the first guest that I have had, and the community tie-in is crazy. So this is the first time this will be used, and it's with you, and it's so
epic.
Perfect.
We are making history today.
And this wouldn't have happened this way had I not run into you at Comic-Con, which I ran into her because Allison's community panel was right before my Cora panel in the same ballroom. So yeah. it was complete
incredible
serendipity.
Timing.
So we're going to cootie catch. Now, I haven't done this. I've never done this. You know, I need both hands.
Should I scoot into share?
Well, you know what I'm going to do? Here, let me look at, no, look at this. Oh, look okay. at this. Okay. I'm holding the microphone between my knees. Legs. And I am inserting. Now, I'm just trying to make it fun for people at home. I am inserting my fingers into the cootie catcher. Now, what we're looking at on the front is... we've got colors. We've got.
But we also have corresponding fruits.
So we have green and a kiwi. And this is beautifully done. Again, you guys will see this. Red, which is a strawberry. Pink, which is a grapefruit. And yellow, which is a lemon. And so Allison has to pick one.
I have to say, even though I know we covered that green is my favorite color, there's something so appealing about the pink on this. I got to go with pink.
Okay. And so for pink, do I go like.
I think you count the letters.
The letters of
the. But you have to. Don't count to four. You have to say the letters.
P I N K. Okay, now we're looking at a 7, an 8, a 4, and a 3.
I should also let the listeners know that 3 and 8 are my favorite numbers.
Okay, this is going to be a tough choice.
I'm going to choose 3.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, now we've got 1, 6, 2, and I don't know what that number is.
1, 6, 2, and...
What didn't we cover yet?
5?
7, 5?
Oh, it looks like a backwards 5.
You can
sorry,
you know what? You can choose. Showing... You're flashing me, but only
I
me.
Am flashing you. I apologize.
You can choose what... You can make that whatever number you want, as
5.
Far as I'm concerned. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Do you see what I did? Now we're
okay,
back
now,
to...
Okay, now what happens? Now... How many of these do I do? 20?
Oh, now...
Or do you just pick a number?
Now I choose a number again, and then you read
I
me
open
the thing.
It. Okay,
gotta go with 8. Now
gotta go
back
with
to
8.
3, 4, 8,
okay,
whatever.
I'm lifting up 8... Look at this. She printed a little JV Club logo when you unfold it. I mean, Victoria, you're the best.
Cootie catcher ever.
Who was your biggest role model as slash idol as a child? And has that changed? And
oh
she came
God.
Up with the questions and everything.
You know, that's really tough. This is really tough. I hate this question.
How about you list like... just one? You have to just, you can pick one or you can pick several. But don't feel pressured to pick, like, what's your... I'm not
like
asking
the
what's,
one.
What's
do you know
your
what
favorite
I mean?
Song.
Like,
I freeze up.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I freeze
don't make
up.
Me pick just one.
Well, and I it's because I don't remember either when I was a kid, like... there wasn't just that, like, one
Same.
Giant person that I was like, that's the one.
Right,
I'm following
right.
that
You
thing.
Like this person because they have this, and you love this because
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
But, so we'll just say, what's a... Who is an idol of yours growing up and why?
I think I always liked... Frances McDormand.
Oh, great choice. Couldn't love her more.
When I was doing, you know, I was just obsessed, like I said, with acting always, theater, really. And when I would watch her, she just was such an interesting character in everything yeah. that she would do.
And so natural.
So natural and so never seemed vain or concerned with that. Like the art, the thing she was working on always came up before her appearance and her fame and that sort of thing. She just seemed like this really great
like
actress. And I feel
like she's
that's
working a craft.
What I always wanted to do, be like a hard worker and be and do good work and produce good work and like then see what happened from there. So I still love her.
I love
it hasn't
her.
Changed at all.
I love her. And I think that's an absolutely fabulous example. Okay. We're going to do another one.
Okay. For me again.
Yes.
Yellow.
Oh, you want to do it?
Yeah, for you.
Oh my gosh, this is unheard of. I love it.
All right.
Okay, I will go with, I'm going to go, you know I have to pick green or yellow because of our Sprite. Outfits, Sprightly's. I'll go with yellow.
Good choice. I just would have chose yellow too.
See?
Y-E-L-L-O-W. All right,
okay.
1, 2, 5, or 6?
I pick.
Backwards 5?
I'm so confused.
I just think it's a backwards 5.
I'm gonna say it's a 7 because I can't remember 7 being in the other one. But I'm just pick that. I'm gonna use that as my.
Okay.
That's like the old maid card where I just get to pick whatever I want. That's a 7.
7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Nope, there's the real 7.
That's okay because we would have ended up here anyway. If you
oh, you know
5.
What? I think it's like they're upside down to you and they're right side up to me. Maybe somehow that may that doesn't affect backwards and forwards at all. Why would
backwards.
I think that?
I think some of them are just backwards. It's
fascinating.
Still an amazing cootie catcher.
It is. It's even better because it's a collector's item. I'm going with 3.
1, 2, 3.
Now I'm going with. That must be a 2.
There's a 2 on there.
That, is so that mad. The 2? Is
two
that the backwards 2 somehow?
There's a backwards 2 and a backwards 5.
I pick the backwards 2.
Okay. What are 3 differences, for better or worse, from your teenage self?
Three differences for better or worse from between. Okay. Interesting. Great question, Victoria. Three differences, better or worse, for my teenage self.
I'm going to think about my answer too.
Okay.
I'm just going to think about myself while I listen to you talk.
Okay. I'm going to be really honest because I'm being super extemporaneous. I have absolutely no idea why this just popped into my mind. This is the weirdest answer I could give. I almost don't want to give it.
Go.
I've had three moles removed since I was a teenager.
Is that, do you consider that for better or for worse?
I don't know. They just told me I had to get them removed.
Where did you get them removed from?
My back.
Okay.
So I have three less moles from when I was a teenager.
This is the greatest
answer. What other weird answers can I come up with? I am probably, you know what? I'll say this. My answer, even like maybe 6 months ago, although my salon group really helped with that. But there was a time when my answer would have been, even as recent as episodes of the podcast, where I would have said, I feel like I was much smarter back then and I was more informed. The weird thing about taking this Huffington Post hosting gig thing is that like I am suddenly so informed and so stimulated. I feel like I'm in college because if you guys have watched the show Newsroom, constantly. I hate to be like, it's basically Newsroom because who wants to hear that because it's so Aaron Sorkin-y of me.
That was so it kind of is like that.
It is like a room full of young people who are brilliant, are
just working hard.
It's this new thing that's never happened before. So everybody's really excited and there's this like real team spirit to it. And these people that are producing this show are like, you know, trying to find interesting ways to look at news and ideas and introduce like people that you've never heard talk before about certain topics and stuff. And so it is like so hyper stimulating that now I feel like I'm in school again.
Yeah.
So I would have said that. I'm going to give that as an answer.
Okay.
Because I wanted to be able to express like that would have been true, except for very recently. Now it feels like it's not true. So it's like that was a difference that then changed back to the same.
I'll take it.
And then my third answer will be difference for better or for worse. So I would have said the change to becoming more stupid was obviously for the worse. And then the change back, which could almost be the third thing,
but
is
the
for the better.
Mole removal
is very basic. It's a basic fact. And then my third one will be that I feel like I am much more comfortable with all of my flaws. Which was what everybody kind of hopes will happen as you get older. Yeah. I definitely feel, and really only not through my 20s. It's what everyone says. I'm totally on board with being like the cliche lady where they're like, what ladies say even in your 40s are even more comfortable. Great. I look forward to it because everything that everyone said would happen psychologically has turned out to basically be true. My 20s, I thought I was more comfortable. I thought I was more together. Definitely my 30s, I feel like I have
become
acquainted with this new person who's like, yeah, I'll put out a podcast. Like, hopefully, I mean, I still care and I worry whether people will like it. Yeah. But I think the step is I wouldn't have even done that in my 20s. So when women particularly, first, absolutely true of men as well, but just speaking as a woman and getting gender specific and kind of the way I think that women are conditioned to be more quiet. Mm-hmm. younger listeners and girls that I know who are in their early 20s who are making stuff and putting it out into the world and being vocal and all that stuff, I am so in awe of them because I couldn't do that then. I just was sure no one would. I mean, I was performing and I was in a band and stuff, but it was so much, I just felt different. Like it was less and I was withholding so much.
Yeah.
And so if you guys are in a place where you feel like you can make your voices heard at a younger age, go for it because you'll only be more happy that you did that when you get to be my age.
Yeah, I agree.
Of 31. That is not how old I am.
I feel like I have the same answer. That's going to be one of my answers too.
Yeah, good. That's great.
Oh, absolutely. And I was thinking about this on the drive over because you asked if I could bring like journal entries or anything
if you
like
wanted
that.
To, yeah, yeah.
But here's why I couldn't. I was like, gosh, I can't even think of where they would be. And then I remembered that when I was in middle school and stuff, I would write in a journal and I was so terrified that someone would find it and read it that then I would rip all the pages out and rip them into tiny pieces and throw them away. And not only that, but I think I did save one other journal, which I found I don't know, a few years ago and read, and it was so depressing. I had not written a lot of entries in it, but it was so depressing because it was so self-conscious. Mm. It was like over the stupidest shit. And I don't remember being like particularly dramatic in that way, but then I was reading these entries about like, oh, so-and-so just doesn't like my thumb ring, and she thought that she thinks that I'm like too cool, but like obviously I don't think that, like why would she think that about me, and why do I even care how much she thinks? I should just die.
Oh, it was like, no.
And it was actually very, it was interestingly spot on that the thing that I was most upset about was how much I cared about what this person thought.
I know,
thought.
It becomes so esoteric. It's like the layers of that is so intense.
And I was like, God, that was really unhealthy back then.
Oh. Your brain, your synapses, your brain is just like boom, boom, boom. Like you're at an age where you're getting so much smarter and you're taking in all the stuff and you're learning math and languages and this and that, and your hormones are going crazy and you're just a sponge and all that stuff.
How to be social, and you're learning how to interact with other people and with boys and like, yeah.
Of course it's like hyper stimulating and too much to take, especially if you're a sensitive kind of creative person. Absolutely.
So that's why I couldn't bring any journal.
That is understood and understandable. We'll do one more.
Okay.
And I'm very eager to see which color you're going to pick.
Clearly green.
Yes. G-R-E-E-N.
4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
8 again.
I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. One more. Okay. And now you can pick.
3.
Okay. I'm holding the paper up close to the microphone so you guys get the audio impact
really
of the cootie catcher.
What this is like.
Number 3. Who had a greater influence on you, your family or your friends?
Ooh, interesting.
That was the most sarcastic yet sincere interesting I've ever heard.
I should say, although that was like not an amazing example, but I have a tendency to sound very sarcastic in normal conversation. People always think I'm being sarcastic when I'm genuinely not, but it's a problem.
Because you're a nice, funny girl. And I think, again, I relate. Because if you're funny once, people are like, oh, she's going to start giving me shit. But then you're
the
like,
time, no,
like
no, just, I'll be serious. Like, wow, that sounds great. And somebody will be like, are you making fun of me? And I'm like, no, it really genuinely sounds great. Joel hates it the most. Joel will just be like, I don't know what you're doing right now.
I feel like he always sounds sarcastic. How
because
dare
he? Because he is sarcastic. But for me, he'll always be like, stop giving me
he
shit.
He only understands sarcasm for sincerity. He can't understand
because
sarcasm.
When he's sincere,
that's sincere.
I feel like you know. He sounds so
that's
sincere
true.
When he's sincere.
You're totally right.
With me, he always makes fun of me like I'm like a terrible mom that's going to patronize my kids because I just always sound like, oh, you got an A.
That lunch
class.
Looks
that's
really
great.
Good.
Okay, who had a bigger influence, my friends or my family? I mean, I don't think I could choose one or the other. I think I would say at the time, in my adolescence, it would be my friends because I had a lot of different friends. I had a lot of different friend groups. Mm-hmm. So I ended up doing very different things all the time. It's not like I was like, these are my 3 friends. I only hang out with them and we're exactly the same.
Right.
It was like I had my drama friends. I had my friends that weren't in drama. I had my friends that were a little older than me. I had my friends that didn't go to my school. So, you know, maybe because, you know, like I said, how I wouldn't really decorate my room or stuff like that. I loved sleeping at my friends' houses and then going to like their different churches. I went to my friend's Mormon church. I would go to my friend's Episcopalian church. I would go to my friend's, you know, Jewish temple. So I feel like from my friends, I was gathering this wealth of knowledge about different things in life that were not things that I just would see in my own household.
Did you not go to church at all when you were, Jewish?
I did. I actually did. Well, my mom's Jewish. My dad, but she was never really practicing, but a very proud Jew, very proud of our Jewish heritage. My father still goes to SRF, Self-Realization Fellowship, which is sort of a Christian Hindu church, a lot of Eastern influence.
That
so
sounds
I
lovely.
Grew up going there every other weekend.
And it sounds like exactly the kind of thing that would encourage you to explore other
These
and
other
sort of
things.
See what other theologies look like
and
stuff.
It's a great church. I still will go on the holidays and like sing with my dad there and stuff like that. It's meditation and that kind of thing, but it's based in Christianity. It's very interesting place to go.
I'm
for
fascinated.
Sure.
I totally want to go and check it out.
It was really cool. But so I think that at the time when I was immersed in my friends' lives so much, it just seemed like they were introducing me to all these things. Now, almost on the, along the lines of what we were talking about earlier, in my, you know, as an adult, the more I analyze things, I think my parents, I mean, absolutely my parents.
Yeah.
Because it's like my from my friends, I have tons of great stories and experiences. But from my parents, I have the fundamental things that make me who I am, and probably even the reason that I was so open to trying all these different things with my friends came from my parents.
Great answer.
Thank you.
Ah, what a great answer. Okay, listen, this is the thing. My appointment, I'm going to let everyone in on what's going on. My appointment is at 3:15 downtown. It's 3:06.
Oh, God.
I am certainly not going to be on time, but I do have to cut this off. This has been one of the most fun afternoons I've spent on a Saturday. So thank you so much for doing the podcast. Guys, thanks for listening. Anything you want to say? Who likes to be told at the end? Anything you want to say to people before you get
it? I'm glad you asked, actually. I was hoping to use this as a platform for my new clothing line. What if I just I have a lot to say about politics. Here we go.
Oh boy. I gotta make a call. Here's hoping my vision's not changed.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. What a blast. Guys, as always, please feel free to send your comments and your questions and your recipes in. And we'll see you next time on the podcast. As always, the JV Club theme song is Before We Were Brittle, courtesy of the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.